Welcome, everyone, to the 72nd edition of Wednesdays with the Patriot Hour. This is Sir Malachi, and we are live at 9:30 p.m. on Wednesday, May 26, 2010. And along with me is my co-host, General Rachel.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. Now, if you hear a hum in the background, that's just because the bunker filtration system has been put in.
Hey, you don't hear from me, I got cut off because I got cut off before the song was done.
Oh, gosh. You're getting cut off and cut off? Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, so just keep going.
Well, I'm also hearing not related to my earpiece. Yeah, so I don't know. It could be a BTR issue here. So I might, it might be both of us getting slammed. Yeah.
You're hearing what? What are you hearing?
Like cut out. And it's not the earpiece. Okay, that's not what's
like
going on
what?
Here. Yeah, see. Can you hear me?
No. It's kind of choppy.
Yeah. Okay, well, hang in there with us tonight. Maybe this will clear up. I don't know. I hope so. You can hear me. If you can't hear me, type it in. I mean, well, of course, you can't hear me. You can't type it in the chat room. But
right.
Okay, so tonight is the big final. I hope everyone has had a great week.
Yeah,
and I
they're
know
bringing
most.
Out, they're bringing out all the past winners now.
No, it's good to see Paula. She looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. And this is Simon's final night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little bit, you know. Oh, wow. But, you know, when they win, they used to be like kids, you know. Now that they're... Years have gone by.
Carrie Underwood. I didn't even recognize her.
She looks great. She looks so good. They all do. They're all grown up, you know. My gosh. Well, we'll see who wins in a few minutes. I know that's where most everybody is. Even though they don't admit it, Mal. They're there. They're watching it. So what do we have to talk about today? Quite a bit, actually. Number one in the news, of course, we'll get to economics in a minute, but there has been a little bit of breaking news on the BP oil spill front. According to what they can find, what they're seeing now coming out of the well is drilling mud, not oil. Drilling mud is the actual term for it. If that's the case, that's very good news. That's very, very good news. They can't confirm it until they get a sample of it. But it seems that oil is no longer gushing. That's great. There is enough blame on this thing to go everywhere. There really is. There is simply enough blame. The unfortunate thing, you know, the minute after this happened, Mel, we were talking and we wrote it in our blog, I said, watch what happens. Instead of dealing with the problem, right away we're going to blame everybody for it. And that's what happened, and what is happening. From BP to Congress trying to make points to the president being an idiot, all of them. Stop the leak, clean up the mess, and then we can assess blame, if blame is really needed to be assessed. Sometimes bad things happen. I truly hate to say it, but that's the truth. They happen. Accidents happen. Now, BP has got more money than any Congress, you know, any fine or fee Congress wants to implement on it. Their profits alone in the first, in all of last year, I believe, were $7 billion. Come on now. Money is of no issue to them. However, on their end, I'm going to say this. Reported on Sunday about the disaster that happened in Saudi Arabia. They didn't learn from that. There is a way that this can be cleaned up, and they're not doing it. I blame BP for that, for simply not taking the reins and allowing themselves to humble themselves and say, listen, we need help here. Tankers can actually skim that oil off, tankers, full-fledged tankers, skim it off, and they recycle it and clean the oil up to be used again. But for whatever reason, BP is not looking at that idea. I think it's more about pride than it is anything else. And I also think it's oil companies not wanting to tip their hand to each other. This is where the private sector had a wonderful opportunity to show their goods, to show their wares, to show that they could do it better than government. So they're blowing it. They're blowing it. And it's all because of PR. Congress, they're shameful. We know what they're in it for. And the president, who cares about him? He's just along for the ride. He can do whatever he wants. And he's like Teflon. Nothing will ever stick to Barack Obama. I'm convinced of it. You can show me poll numbers all you want. He just doesn't care. And he never will care. Because he can do whatever he wants, and he believes that. So let's put him aside for a second. This stuff needs to be cleaned up. It's a mess down there. But here's the side effect of this. The worst side effect of all. When I hear Ben Stein on Larry King, I'm Still Alive, just about 15 minutes ago, say, well, I think it's time that we look at offshore drilling altogether, meaning getting rid of it altogether. This is what we mean by knee-jerk reaction and emotionalism. Don't go there. Or this lovely little bit that's coming out. It's time for the government to take over the oil industry. Aww. We knew that was coming.
Boy, you see the prices go up by skyrocket. That happened.
Well, when I was looking into that oil disaster that I had brought up, and I'm trying to get the, I apologize. Things are a little slow out here in the internet world. I don't know what's going on here, but I don't like it. Anyway, well, we already found out that Congress wants to quadruple taxes on oil. That came out on Monday. In response to the massive BP oil spill, this is from the AP, Congress is ready to quadruple to 32 cents a barrel a tax on oil. Well, you levy that tax, who's going to pay for it? Yeah, but they don't care. So they're knee-jerking all over the place. This is where I got the information from. In 1993 in the Persian Gulf, there was an oil spill unprecedented. It was 70 times the size of the spill of the Valdez, which was a mess. We remember that. So what happened? Well, there's a man by the name of Posey, P-O-Z-Z-I, Nick Posey, who was an engineer with Saudi Aramco in the Middle East. He was there at the time, and what happened was, is they said to him, the government said to him, think outside the box. We have to clean this up and clean it up fast. So they did. And what they did is they took tankers, as many tankers as they could. They employed what they called a fleet of empty super tankers to suck the crude off the water surface. Not only did Posey's team clean the entire spill up in record time, but as I said, salvaged 85% of the oil. This was in the Arabian Gulf. They saved the environment off the Gulf and the Gulf itself, the Persian Gulf. Now, I said, self, why aren't they doing this now? Because all those tankers that they would need to siphon off, they're full. That's why oil is dropping. They're glutted with oil. They have nowhere to park it, nowhere to give it, nowhere to give it to. Uh-huh. So, of course, now here we go. They're going to want to nationalize the oil industry. They're going to come right off the heels of all the emotion and dead birds. They're going to do a Chavez and grab your oil. They want to massively retro tax or retro fine BP. Transocean has already filed suit against BP. Lloyd's of London, the insurer, is trying to block it and forward it. It's a royal international law mess. Congress cannot retro a fine. That's impossible. How can you do that now, Mel? Come out and say, oh, well, we're going to increase it to $1 billion, not $10 million, and we're going to retroactively do that. No, 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 no. But there's a lot of problems with this whole thing. And to automatically not blame BP, as a lot of conservatives like to do, is a big mistake. They've mishandled this from day one. All in the case of pride and in the case of, I don't know what, PR seems to me more than anything else. But now you have the Coast Guard? This isn't the Coast Guard's job. Then I have to hear the Admiral of this Coast Guard, whether it's Thad Allen or Tad Allen, whatever his name is, he comes out and he's talking all about politics and this and that. Listen, no, this isn't their job. I've often said if you want the UN to do anything, this is what the UN is made for. Environmental, global disasters, and humanitarian crises. Let them deal with it. Get them out of security, put them into this. But, of course, politics can get in the way there, too. Now, I, for one, do not subscribe to the fact that the North Koreans blew up the well. I'm sorry, I'm not a... I just don't see it. I think it was a pure accident, and maybe there was mismanagement. I don't know. But for 30-some-odd days, we have now had to watch it. Now, I gave great deference, and I was, you know, not going to be jumping on anybody, but now we're over a month into this. And now it's bad. And even for all of you out there that carry the guns and love to hunt and all of that and think the environment is there to be used, it is also not there to be abused. You are supposed to be stewards of that environment. That's what a conservationist is. And you cannot look at that mess and think that that's a good thing. Because that is one thing that man did make, okay? So man has a responsibility, in my opinion, to clean it up. Now, how it'll be cleaned up, I don't know. But it just seems to me now that everyone's running around with their heads cut off. Nobody knows what they're doing. And we saw Philippe Cousteau, the grandson of Jacques Cousteau, go into that water. Oh, my God. I couldn't even imagine being a fish or something just flying through that, swimming through it, flying if you're a bird, swimming if you're a fish. There's no way you're getting out of that mess. So, there we go. It is a mess. Is it going to be the greatest environmental disaster ever? I don't know. But I know that we're really showing our absolute lack of abilities here. And it's embarrassing to me. The private sector is the one that's failing. BP and the oil industry should have these technologies ready to go and at hand. There should be plans, contingency plans. What if this happened? I don't think there are any. Honestly, I don't.
Don't they have any contingency plans for all these possibilities?
Well, that's what I think.
Do they have all that stuff set up?
Well, that's what I'm asking the question. I don't think they did, because if they did, would they be looking like chickens with their heads cut off?
I
also realize, too, they're running up against government. We're not, you know, we know this. Of course they are. They absolutely are. They're running up against government, running up against all the regulations, this, that, and the other. But there comes a point when someone needs to take control, and obviously Barack Obama's not going to do it. Big Sis isn't going to do it. And the Coast Guard is trying to do half-piece things. They can only do as much as they can. But now is the time for innovation, and as in 1993, with the Persian Gulf disaster, thinking as Mr. Posey said, the one involved in the cleanup in 93, they immediately told us, the oil company, we need decisions, let's go on the table, and if you watch house, much the same way, like a differential, right? What do we got? Here's what we got. Think outside the box. Go. And they did. They did, and they got it done. 70 times the size of the Valdez in the Persian Gulf, and they got it done. By thinking outside the box, not worrying about who's going to think what and all the PR, and getting it done. It just seems here in America, we just need to always have the the proper media, the proper this. What are they going to say? It's going to be on YouTube. The hell with all of that. And Markey allowing that damn camera down there. He did it for a reason. Demanding BP put that camera down there? For what? So you'll feel bad. That's why. You'll get angry. You'll get mad at BP. I'm not mad at anybody. I simply want it done. Because when I saw a dragonfly covered in oil, I said, oh, mercy. They had to kill their killing dragonflies. The things are all drenched in oil. It's disgusting. It looks like caramel on the water when they're, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So let's hope they get this straightened out. And I do hope now that it is just drilling mud coming out of the hole. I hope so. Is that Janet Jackson on there?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've been almost 6-7 minutes already.
I'd get rid of the cat suit if I were her. That's all I'm saying that.
Yeah,
oh,
too big of a butt.
Yeah, she's got something going on there. They don't really look good on J-Lo.
Yeah, I had too much junk in the trunk.
So, I don't know. I mean, Mel and I talked about nuking it the day we heard of the accident. We nuked the damn thing.
Yeah. So what the Russians did, like you said.
Yeah, the Russians have been doing it actually probably more than we know, to be honest. See, I was flipping through the cables before the show. It was a little bit of a funny. I don't know. Does this bring drilling in the Gulf or drilling in Alaska back? Is ANWR now actually a possibility? So that it's not under the ocean, that it's on land. And it was Dennis Miller that said, yeah, if you spill it, just get a couple paper towels. But is he right? You know, land cleanup is easier than this. But to all the people out there, all you socialists that want government to take over everything, be wary of what you're saying. Because Barack Obama's itching to do it. Itching to do it. And he will, too. And he'll use the emotion. And that's the one conspiracy thing now that I'll agree with the people on. They want that spill to continue. The government surely does. They want it to keep going on and on and on. So they can nationalize the oil industry. So they can suck more money out of BP. Well, I hate to tell the federal government something. BP's got more money than they do. Ah, you need money? Sue an oil company. A mess, absolute mess. Hope they get this damn thing cleaned up. And quick, I don't want to see any more of my animal friends. I say we sue on behalf of the animals. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, dragonfly. Well, over in Europe, things are not good.
Yeah, yeah. The euro dropped again. It's at an almost 4-year low now. $1.21.
It seems that earlier in the day our markets were up, and I'm now not worried about the numbers, but I was worried, I was always on the news that they're trading on. Thursdays are always the day that the market's going to make its hit. It's going to reveal the true health of what's going on. And apparently Europe is waiting for reports that are coming out tomorrow, and it's going to be our job numbers that they're waiting for. And I don't think they're going to be up. And if they are, it's 10-1. It'll be revised by the end of the month and by next month. So the euro's in serious crisis here. Not just the euro, but the eurozone. You had Italy come out today with their austerity budget. You know, one of the eyes and pigs. They came out and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. So they cut $29 billion. They're cutting all this, all of that, social projects, social programs, the pay. But now what do you have in Italy? The same thing that you saw in Greece and indeed Spain last week. Here come the protests. Here come the anger. It's not enough. The IMF, the ECB, European Central Bank, has said it's not enough. All these cuts are nothing. And they're right. And they're setting up the fact for what we discussed in detail last time we were together. The Eurozone is done. The Euro is done, and the people are done over there. Europe now wants to propose new bank levies. Well, we talked about that. I think they wanted that a while ago, didn't they, Neil? Yeah. A network of national funds should be introduced so the cost of bank failures are not met by the taxpayer. Well, who do they think eventually pays?
Where are they going to get the damn money from, yeah.
Well, they want to suck it from the countries, and I'm saying, do they realize what they're paying Visa with their MasterCard? I mean, they're just, it's a mess. We explained the psychology of it last time we were on air, but now it's getting to the point where it's the Keystone Cops. And, you got Geithner over in China trying to assuage the Chinese. The Chinese are yelling at us.
Hey, they need to hand Joe Cocker a beer can thing to smash it on his head.
Oh, gosh.
I know. It's like this guy said on the blog that I told you I read. They tell these guys to get modern and up-to-date and change songs, but yet they give them all these old fogey shit songs that they never heard of these people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how the hell can they be modern with old shit like that?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, we're down to the last 4 minutes.
I mean, well, I guess we'll... Because this is taking forever.
All
the confetti's falling.
It better not fall yet. They didn't introduce any.
Yeah, it goes off at 10 after 5.
Oh, so
five
they'll probably...
10, I mean. So
God. That Lee better not win. I'll revolt on the radio.
Yeah.
No!
Buddy... They said he would. Simon said he would, and the polls I've been seeing said he would. He's outnumbering her 2-1, which I think is stupid. He sounded like shit tonight, even.
Oh, did you hear him with Chicago?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He sounded like crap.
25 or
50? Yeah, I know it.
I was.
It was all bad.
Yeah. He was crazy. He couldn't even sing it. What? They don't care. I mean, hey, whatever. They're all pleased. They're all watching it too, haven't they? But, yes, there you go with the Euro. Tomorrow is the key. Tomorrow we have to be very careful and see what goes on overnight. Asia's waiting. You remember, they're glutted with dollars. So now they're at the point that they're a little concerned. They don't even know where to dump the dollar now. But Asia's also concerned that their economy is growing way too quickly. That's why you see them raising rates and holding back. They're being smart. They're not going to let their economy go way out of whack. They're going to allow it to grow, but they're going to allow it to grow at a rate that they can manage. God, I hate when China's right. Makes me sick. Blah! But they are. They truly are. So we'll see what happens there overnight and into tomorrow on that. There was one other piece of information. Oh, now tell them about what happened with Apple.
Oh, yeah, they overtook Microsoft as the number one technology company.
And unbelievable. Now, well, it's actually not unbelievable to me. I'm kind of excited for them.
Yeah.
I think that
Steve Jobs' goal was to overtake his nemesis.
Oh, sure it was. And with Apple, the key to Apple is absolute customer loyalty. The people that love their Apple, they will die for their Apple. The people that have Microsoft will do anything to get an Apple. You know, we all have our funds ready. We can't wait to be able to afford
Walmart,
an Apple.
Walmart dropped the price of the iPhone to $97.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did that yesterday. Oh. I don't know if it's on for this whole weekend or not.
Wow, there you go. If you can... Do it, you know? Hey. But they said because of the iPhone and, yes, iPad, that thing made a hell of a lot of money.
Did
not with wings.
Yeah, they made
no, not
five,
yet.
Yeah,
no
wings. Yeah, no wings yet, yeah.
No wings yet.
Yeah, they made $500 million in the first week or first month.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And it went quick. So what it is they are winning the world by what's called market capitalization. But that is the most important thing. And the consumer, not just in sales, but out of, as I said, loyalty is driving this. I mean, how many of us curse Windows every day of our lives?
I do. Ooh. Yeah, I told you before, my next computer is an Apple. MacBook Pro or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the Apple. I mean, Apple reminds me of when people used to love their Saturns. Do you remember that? They'll never give up a Saturn when they used to love them. And you could very rarely find a used Saturn out there.
Those will be gone after next model year. They're only going to produce 3 models of Saturn.
But the loyalty to them is the same. Like the same thing. If you have a loyalty to a Toyota, there is a certain core, and it is with the Apple, but it is. And I think that's great. So good for Apple. Good for them.
That's the one good thing about the Saturn car, though. They were cheaper on insurance because of the plastic parts.
Hmm.
You know, plastic body parts.
People loved them, though. Oh, my gosh. They sure did. And they were a nice car for the price. They certainly were. So on the economy, as far as that is concerned, there really is nothing more that I have now. Mostly we have foreign news to talk about.
Yeah, I've got a little something to brag about here. I just got an email from the Cambridge Institute.
Cambridge?
You know that? Cambridge in England. They want me to be in their who's who.
No, good for you.
Holy crap. I can't believe that. I said, what did I do for that? They must have heard our show.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'll tell Michael Savage. He'll be jealous.
Yeah, kicked
him out.
How come they didn't ban your ass? He'll say,
right? Yeah. We come out and call him Muslim. He's a Muslim.
Yeah. Well, you had a couple of guys on there last night. I listened to the show and calling him a Muslim.
Here we go. Ryan's got the gold envelope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gold envelope, everybody. Take a look at your TV screens.
Be crystal. It is. I think she already knows. Oh, for God's sake, Ryan.
Yeah, Simon was right again.
Oh, my God. You people are on crack.
I know.
You're on crack. The guy stunk.
She nailed his ass to the wall last night. And I knew it. See, the same thing happened last year. Everybody thought Adam Lambert had it sewed up, and here that other guy wins. Whatever his name was. Chris Allen. Yeah.
This is insane. You people are crazy.
Wrong person won as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, absolutely. And I hate to end my 10-year. That's right, Sarah. This is the third effing time the wrong person won. This is outrageous.
Yeah,
I want to see.
Audrey should have won when he was.
Oh, man, unbelievable.
I don't understand it, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. Moving on to the real business at hand. But hey, whatever. You know, there's something people like to mock American Idol. Let me just say this. I'm not going to watch it anymore since it's Simon's last year. But American Idol and shows like that, it's one of those shows that the whole nation watches and families watch. You know, it's one of those moments where it's like, oh, did you see what happened? And sometimes it's not such a bad thing. Kind of a national awareness type of thing where we all get together and watch things. I don't see how that's bad. So, okay, where were we now?
Yeah, Europe.
That's what's going on financially, like we said, waiting for the euro. Anything else going on? Iraqi Airways has declared bankruptcy. I don't think this should be a big shock.
I saw on Drudge, I didn't read the article, but I saw on Drudge the title. He said Soviets and Iran, it's their most controversy since the Cold War, which I'm not sure what the hell that meant.
Okay, say that one more time because I didn't hear you.
It said Russia and Iran are at their highest controversy since the Cold War. But I never didn't read the article, and I don't see it on there now. But so I don't know what the hell Putin.
I don't know. I didn't read the article, so I'd have to see it. Now, the one thing, U.S. money supply plunges at 1930s pace. This is something we've got to watch out for. This, and
I was just going to say real quick. They said the government's pay has increased over the private sector, while you know the private sector has dropped pay wise. You know, so
The M3 money supply in the United States is contracting at an accelerating rate that now matches the average decline seen from 1929 to 1933, despite near zero interest rates and the biggest fiscal blitz in history, meaning the biggest fiscal flooding of the market with the stimulus. So despite everything the government's done, what's going on? It's fake. It's fraud. It was a fraud crisis. It was a fraud flooding of the market. The euro net, the eurozone is falling apart. Because why? Because the real numbers, the reality is what's happening. And despite everything that they've done, they can't control what's real. It's going to happen. They can't cover it up anymore. They can't flood the market with euros or dollars. They can't do it. They tried to crap you off of gold. They tried to mock you off every commodity in gold. They've tried to do that for months now. We didn't buy it. The world didn't buy it. And indeed, nations didn't buy it. But they did buy gold. We talked about India, Australia, China, Russia, and Brazil all buying up gold. This happened months ago because they knew what was coming.
Yeah, that link I put in there will show you the M3 chart that Rachel's talking about. It shows you all five.
Go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it shows all five charts, money supply, inflation, unemployment, U.S. dollar, and the gross domestic product. Sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. It's hard for us tonight. We don't know what's going on, but we can barely hear each other, so I think it's just a bad BTR night. The stock of money in the U.S. fell from $14.2 trillion to $13.9 trillion in the 3 months to April, amounting to an annual rate of contraction of 9.6%. In 3 months? Something's going on. Something bad. You can talk about conspiracy all you. Something's being manipulated, not just our markets. Forget about the stock market, because I don't even know who's in that anymore. I don't know, and honestly, I don't care. But something's wrong. Where'd it go? Why is it contracting? Why is the money supply contracting? The M3 figures, which include broad range of bank accounts and are tracked by British and European monetarists for warning signals about the direction of the U.S. economy in advance, began shrinking last summer. Now the pace is quickened. So here you have the Euro, Europe, British, the United States, monitoring what they consider to be the most important figure to look at the economy and the health thereof. And while it was declining last summer, now the pace has not only quickened, it's tripled. It's moving like a... Why? I thought we were supposed to be in recovery. I thought stabilizing through the French banks into Greece was supposed to bring up, level up the euro. I thought the stimulus for our banks was supposed to calm everything down. No.
Yeah, it's just like the unemployment numbers, you know, like we kept mentioning in the Census Bureau. You know the kind of crap they're pulling now? They're hiring and firing the same people over and over and over, so it looks like the employment numbers are going up.
Now, why aren't they being called out on this now?
There was a couple of whistleblowers. It was posted in the New York Post today.
Now, that should be breaking news.
Yeah,
That should be something talked about. Oh, who is manipulating this economy? And don't give me the usual George Soros. This goes deeper than George Soros even. Now, something's going on, and I'm getting damn mad now. Now I'm getting damn mad. We told you we weren't in recovery. In fact, I believe that if you look at it and strip all of the packaging off, we're in a deep depression. I think we are ready to plummet.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot worse than the 30s.
You know why, Mel? Because these people out here and a lot of the people that listen to our show like to believe that it won't affect them. The hell it won't. Because, as you know, not just with double, let's even take the double dip scenario, your W shape, which Robini has been saying for a year now what will happen. The first hit is not the hardest one. Your first bottom of the V of the W. That's not the hard part. It's the second one. Because you don't go down in a decline. You fall off, and you, bam, right to the bottom.
Well, he said the stock market should drop another 20% to be where it should be.
We
Maybe
both say
it. Drop at least another 2,000 points, like we've been saying all along.
Yes. I mean, we've been together 2 years on this show. We've always said it's been overvalued. And I think it's overvalued by, what, 65%? I think it's way overvalued.
Well, it should be like 7,000 or 8,000 is where it should be. Kind of like where now Japan is now. Japan's about 9,200.
I'm just going to read two paragraphs from this and because it's so important here. I don't like that this was thrown out here. Tonight, right before the big, whatever's going to happen in Europe is going to happen tomorrow. I don't like this scenario, but this goes to the Telegraph article. The stock of money fell from 14.2 to 13.9 trillion in the 3 months to April, so for the first 3 months of the year, amounting to an annual rate of contraction of 9.6%. The assets of institutional money market funds fell at 37% rate, the sharpest drop ever. It's frightening, said Professor Tom Coggan from the IMF, or International Monetary Research. Quote, the plunge in M3 has no precedent since the Great Depression. The dominant reasons for this is that regulators across the world are pressing banks to raise capital asset ratios and to shrink their risk assets. That is why the U.S. is not recovering properly. In UNI terms, that means there's too much dipping into the banks, telling them what to do, telling them you have to cut your risk, shrink your risk, and raise capital. Well, where are they going to raise it from? Where? Now, you've got solid banks over in France. They've been booming with their profits. And that was the main reason why they stabilized Greece. Because if they didn't, those French banks would go down, and with the French banks, so goes Europe. You want to talk about old money. That is the serious old money in France. The U.S. authorities, however, have an entirely different explanation for the failure of stimulus to gain full traction. So now the numbers are finally telling the economists, the stimulus didn't do anything. Oh, my God. What if the people find out that the stimulus didn't do anything?
Wasn't gonna work.
Right.
We knew that when they brought it up when Bush was still in office back in October.
We knew it because we're tuned in political geeks, but the American people aren't. So they are getting sold a bill of goods that it did work, but the numbers don't lie. How many times have we been taught that? Now, the government, they are opting instead of yet further doses of Keynesian spending, despite warnings from the IMF. Even the IMF is telling the United States Treasury, stop spending.
Yeah,
stop it.
This was on George today, too. U.S. debt hit $13 trillion. It's 90.3% of our GDP.
Get this now. Here we go. Despite warnings, as I said, from the IMF that the gross public debt of the U.S. will reach 97% of GDP next year and 110% in 2015. This is 110 now.
We're becoming Greece.
We are Greece. Our states are Greece now. We've got cities ready to plunder. Now they're afraid the next market to crash is municipal bonds. Municipal bonds hold up your cities.
Yeah, well,
you
Pennsylvania can't pay their bonds, so they're talking about filing Chapter 9, which we mentioned a couple of weeks back.
Right. Exactly right. They cannot pay them. Miami has had a significant problem. We know the problems in the big cities in California for obvious reasons. New York City, they just went through a massive selling of their bonds. If that bond market goes, municipal bonds, your cities go bankrupt. If your cities go bankrupt, who rescues the cities? The state? With what? So who do you turn to? You got it. The federal government.
Which is the taxpayer.
Which is you. And they're going to use it. And we can't let Miami go under.
I was just going to say real quick, in that article, they said
mm-hmm.
that every person right now owes $117,000.
Yeah. You got it. Write a check. You owe $117,000. My godson is 8 years old. He owes $117,000. That's criminal. But it gets better. Because Barack Obama and his administration, with the help of Congress, because remember, Congress are the only ones that can authorize the spending of money, want to not only do first future bailouts, but bailouts are going to just sucker punch you. First the teachers, $3 billion. Do lift the teachers out of it. We make sure the teachers have a job because teachers are getting laid off everywhere. $23 billion now. That's going through Congress. But they also want million, could be billion, but I don't want to get that wrong, a whole lot of millions for the unions.
Yeah,
they want to bail out the union. That's
$50 billion total.
Think about that. Why? Because they have no money to pay their pensions. Now, here's hardworking men and women who have been in a union, regardless of how you feel about the union, and have worked 30, 35, 40 years paying into their pensions, paying their union dues, assured a pension, and guess what's going to happen? The same thing that's happened to those poor people in Greece. You still think it's funny to mock the people in Greece? They're going to end up being husbands. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me one of your family members, or maybe even you, wouldn't get a little teed off if all of a sudden tomorrow morning your union lets you know that I'm sorry. Broke. You'll have to work another 10 years. The same way the Greek people are saying, hey, you broke our trust. Do you think those UAW, SCU workers are going to be any less angry? Hell no. Now what? Now we have to worry about pensions? And is it your pension? Is it the union? How are those government pensions going? Have those been funded? I don't have to touch them. I really wouldn't pay attention to those rules, even if they say that we aren't allowed. We are allowed. They touch everything. They don't keep their hands on anything. Nothing is safe anymore, in other words. Not a thing. And I like Susie Orman. I think she's great. But you know what? I think Bank Maxwell House is very good and better every single day. You know, you wonder why some of the older generation, our grandparents or maybe our parents, never trusted a bank. Do you? I don't. And it's not so much that I don't trust the bank per se. I don't trust what's coming for the bank now. How soon before the government, which I think tiptoed around nationalizing the banks, how soon before they finally do it? Just Chavez the whole thing.
Yeah,
oil companies. Yeah. Well, 95% of our mortgages are owned by the federal government. It's a little thing nobody wants to know about. Nobody wants to talk about it. 95% of the mortgages held in the is owned now by the federal government. My God. But this money supply thing has really got me. I'm a bit, I was worried about what's going to happen tonight in Asia, early morning euro in Europe, those markets. But now, with this little ditty coming out of the UK, of course, not published here, did you notice that? We had to go to the UK to find that little ditty. What else is coming down the pike? What is it? I like being doom and gloom about our economy. I don't. And honestly, I couldn't choose what president was in office. I don't want to see our economy fail, because when the economy fails, we all suffer greatly. But these are new times now with new definitions. What went up goes down. What goes down goes up. That no longer applies anymore. There's rules out there. And hopefully it looks at the economy. And of course, we're seeing words such as, we're an international economy, global, we're this, we're that. There's no longer a United States economy. And I guarantee you that's what Kushner was doing over there in China. They were finding out a way, figuring out a way to use this and to indeed make up a true one world economy. I wish I did. Don't you want to come on here and go, woo, no, we just can't do it. Every day, every time we look at the news, they'll call me up and we'll talk and we'll be like, what's new? And then all of a sudden, 3 hours later, we're still talking about it.
Yeah, and Tuesday there was a lot.
Oh,
couldn't keep up.
No. And then every time we'd get through talking about a story or, you know, we're going to talk about it on the show, sure, shooting, we go right to the sourcing, because that's what we like to do on our show. We go to the source material, and you go deeper and deeper, and there's another hour's worth of stuff to talk about. But this is what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to know any of this. And then you heard all about Barack Obama and what he did yesterday in California. But we have a Mel, can we play a little ditty first?
You've been cutting out. I guess you're starting to.
I hear you now.
Rachel, your phone is heating up. Sound is really bad to hear. Yeah, let me play this. This is a tribute to Art Linkletter, who died today. He was 97. Him and his wife were married 74 and a half years. She's still alive.
And I appreciate everything that Art Linkletter's done, everything, and I just
want to thank you for all you have done for military wives. I know a lot of people know that you've done so much for children.
And at the end of that breakfast, I asked you if you would go see a lady who had cancer and was dying, and you looked at me and you said, I would be delighted. And I appreciate that.
Inspirational show. Art, you're my hero. What a great man you are. You're just fantastic.
Mr. Arne Linkletter, how long have you been in the public eye?
Since 1933. I was studying to be an English professor at San Diego State College, and I was making Waldorf salads in the school cafeteria at lunch, one of my many jobs. The phone rang, and it was a strange voice, said, "I'm the manager of radio station KGB. I've been watching you up there and what you're doing. You wrote a musical comedy and so forth. She said, how would you like a part-time job in radio?" I got in the public eye and stayed there 65 years.
Robin Stevens, how are you?
Fine.
Oh, yellow bird. She's all yellow, and you got yellow legs.
Stockings.
Oh, that's not your skin?
That's stockings.
I thought you had yellow jaundice.
Well, now, Robin, what do grown-ups do that are fun?
They go out for dinner at a PTA meeting and get drunk.
What a PTA meeting is?
Yes, it's at a school.
Why they couldn't get
where
drunk?
Where mothers and fathers get drunk.
Oh, no. No, Beverly, Robin, somebody has been giving you the wrong information. No, what they do, they go and they have tea and cookies.
Want to get drunk?
No.
How did you start with kids?
With my own son, Jack. When he was five, I was doing a show in San Francisco called Who's Dancing Tonight at the St. Francis Hotel. And I'd get guests like
Who's
you. Who's
Dancing Tonight at the St.
Francis Hotel.
Hotel?
Big name bands in the early 40s and
what
30s.
What station?
KFRC. And I one time had a homemade recording machine, which made a wax record, not a tape. And I interviewed my son, Jack. Came home from his first day at kindergarten. I said, are you going back? He says, no. I said, you're not going back to school? You just started. Why not? He says, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk.
And that's gave you the idea to...
And I put it on. I put it on locally. Mail came in from all around San Francisco saying, what a wonderful thing to see a kid talking who's not a professional, rehearsed, written, so forth, just kids. And I remember that when we put together our magazine show with John Goodell called House Party. The only thing was on every day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year for 26 years were kids.
Beverly, what's a candidate?
I think it's an orange soda pop.
Donald, what do you think a candidate is?
I think it's a country near Canada.
U.S. candidate in Canada.
What were the good old days like?
In the 30s? Well, We had radio, and it was a wonderful medium, and it was a family medium, and kids didn't use four-letter words when they were 12 years of age, and things were much calmer. Everything then was much sweeter.
What do you think you'll be when you grow up?
A bus driver or a pilot.
A bus driver or a pilot?
Yes.
Well, suppose you were a pilot on a big airplane and suddenly all four engines stopped right away. What would you say?
Our father was trying to
have a... By the way, who's the boss in your house, your mother or your dad?
Both of them.
Hey, you're a diplomat, are you?
No, I'm a Catholic Baptist.
You told me once in Florida years ago, you put up the money for the hula hoop.
Yeah.
The guy came into your office and just did it and you bought it.
Yeah.
Buck a piece, they sold.
That's right. And you know what was wrong with being in the hula hoop business?
What?
You couldn't patent it. Anybody could copy it. And so you had to get in, sell the devil out of it, and get out of it before your warehouse was full and you had no customers.
Peggy Morgenstern, aren't you the girl whose father was on my program when he was a little boy?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this kind of frightening? They're coming around the second time and I'm still here waiting. Well, Peggy, I'm glad to meet you. How did your mother and daddy meet?
Well, they met at a nudist camp.
A nudist colony?
Yeah.
A nudist camp. And what do they do at nudist camps?
They play game and take off their clothes.
Did they tell you this about meeting that way?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just make this up. It's really true. Oh, that's wonderful. I can hardly think of another question to ask.
Image versus reality, aging in America.
That's
what
right.
do you make of this?
Well, the older people in America are making their way into more and more things because they're not quitting work. One of the most amazing things that society today is not recognizing is that our people getting older, but they don't realize they're not quitting work because they love their work, the people who are fortunate.
But there's a danger in that, right? Because then
well,
you're supposed to move it along.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of young people coming along. People are getting married later and having fewer children. We're having a birth dearth. But us old people are filling that. Thank goodness. People who have a passion for living and love what they're doing don't want to quit. And as a matter of fact, about 73% of people over 65 are busy doing one of two things, either making money doing what they like or volunteering. People don't really want to get old, but when the alternative is considered.
Yeah.
And of course, I think if you're going to get old, you might as well enjoy it.
Now, see how much you know about your little girl. What's her name?
Heidi.
How old is she?
1 year.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
So far, you're doing well. And this your only child?
Only one.
First child. How old are you, Mr. Jennings?
46.
46?
All right.
What kept you?
Looking around.
You were looking around?
Yeah.
How long have you been married now?
3 years.
3 years. In other words, you were a bachelor 43 years.
That's right.
Boy, this made a change in your life, hasn't it?
You have to say that.
Are you a good dad?
Well,
in other words, do you handle the changings and everything?
No.
You don't do that? Maybe you better let me hold her. I get along with the children better. Yes, I know. I'm handling it.
More people are alive today who are over 65 than ever lived in the history of the world over 65. Because they all died early.
Yeah.
1,000 years ago, the average age was 20.
Thank you, Arthur.
You wouldn't have made it.
No. You would have been gone.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Kathy Stevens, you're 7. What age would you like to be?
21.
Why 21?
To be married.
You'd like to be married? You're romantic. Have you ever been kissed?
No.
Well, that's a good thing. You're only 7. But, Kathy, what kind of fellow would you like to marry?
You.
Kathy, you didn't tell me. Shall we have a church wedding? I'm spoken for, ain't I?
Yes.
Kent Yamaguchi. How are you, Kent?
Hi.
What age would you like to be? You're 7 now.
21.
Oh, another 21. Why would you like to be 21?
So I could be a teacher.
School teacher. Would you like to be married? Would you like to marry somebody famous? Suppose you could marry anybody famous, would you?
Because they're never home.
That boy's smarter than we all thought right there. Karen Beans. Hello, Miss Beans.
Hello.
And how old would you like to be?
18.
Why?
Because I can go out on dates and kiss boys.
Would you like to marry somebody famous? Who would you marry?
Billy Varney.
Well, he'd be the right size for you. He's your size.
You going to make 100?
Going to make 100, yeah.
You will make it.
You know, it's taken me so long to get here, I don't see any reason why I shouldn't go on.
Did you want to kiss me? You can now. She asked the teacher. They have to get permission from their mothers. Until they're 20.
I didn't quite make it to 100.
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah, one of the last great ones. I used to love watching his show.
He just had some way, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
God, he could get the kid to just say anything to the absolute embarrassment of their family, you know?
Yeah.
So, 97, and what a life, man. He had 7 grandchildren. And 15 great-grandchildren.
Yeah, and he saw 3 of his 5 kids dead before him.
Yeah, sadly enough. But he did say that his greatest, when they were asking him, what's your greatest accomplishment, he said, family.
Mm-hmm.
and he's right. So, you know, he's one of those guys that always, in my mind, he's like one of those street shoots up to heaven. You know what I mean? Like, like God's probably going, hey, come over here, you know. Celebration of that man's life. That is a generation, like you said now. What a solid core American generation, Batman. So, you know, sad that he died, but every time I think of him, he makes me smile. So I guess he succeeded, didn't he? That's a good thing.
Yep.
Good for him. All right, where'd we leave off? Oh, there was one more thing happening overseas, and I think we mentioned this a few times on our show previously. There is an increasing battle for water. Now, I know this might sound like it's a little bit esoteric and it won't matter. Water is soon to be the new oil. Now, you're having fights within the African nations, and you're also having arguments within the European nations over oil or over water. This is one of those things where a long time ago I said, put grease in the back of your head. Remember when I said that about a year ago? I'm saying that now about water. Put it back there. I got a feeling this thing's going to be coming up and coming up. Indonesia.
Over water, because I mean Israel is doing fine because they have water purification plants, just like Egypt does.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Israel might help Egypt build theirs.
Mm-hmm. Guess who's behind all this water nonsense, though?
Roy Soros.
China.
You
remember what China's doing in Africa. We've told you there's 1 million Chinese in Africa, working in Africa, building roads in Africa. 1 million of them. Not only are they buying them up, basically raping the land, but doing so with good old American dollars, but they are also doing these things that they need to do for all the resources in Africa. They don't care who they starve or who they drowned in the process. Water has always been one of the resources that I think this globe has misused. I think in a lot of ways, also not understood. I take it for granted. I know I do. I don't mean to sound cruel about it, but I do. I think we all do. Mel, you and I were talking about this, remember, water? This is one of the things. You don't really know, do you, how much water you use in a day? You use a lot of it, more so than you would think. So water seems to be the thing that keeps bubbling up and bubbling up, especially between nations in Africa and in Southeast Asia. So keep that in the back of your mind. Things that's now constantly turning up in a lot of the economic news organizations, press, and also Inc. So keep that in mind. I don't like it, but it's a fact and something that we're going to have to keep an eye on.
But like you said, too, most wars started over natural resources, water or salt, something like
you
that.
And spices. Back in the day, especially salt. I mean, you heard of the Great Salt Road. Yeah. Wars. Countries would annihilate each other over salt. So don't think it can't happen, because it can. And nowadays, with the population.
It's like that, what you read about the Crusades. They would put salt in their the handle of their swords.
I mean, salt is indeed the spice of life.
Yep.
It's part of you. You are salt water. Right now, Paul, am I right? I mean, you're
90-some percent water.
Yeah. So little things like that, things that you might don't really worry too much about, start worrying. And the only reason I say that, and I'm not being an environmentalist whack job, you guys know me better than that, but the reason I'm saying that is because I'm seeing people behind the scenes pulling the puppet strings, and that would be Russia, China, and of course, our lovely friends, the Islamo-fascist pig slime. Let's be very careful about that. There is one thing also that we like to bring you here, always update on what is now unaffectionately known as BRIC, Remember what BRICS stand for?
Yeah, Brazil, Russia, India, and China.
There you go. You're BRIC nation. Well, all our little Eastern students out there, and I count myself among you, we've been currently one country, and that's Indonesia. Well, guess who might be added as the extra I in BRIC? Indonesia. They're doing great. But they're being very quiet about it. They're not telling anybody, but Brazil's taking note. And, of course, India is. Surely China. So they might throw them in. Well, why not? Indonesia's $514 billion economy is the biggest in Southeast Asia. It will grow at 6% this year, up from 4.5% in 2009. That's the National Monetary Fund. That would make the nation of 240 million the best performing economy after China and India. Think about that. And it's outpacing Brazil and Russia, the two other emerging giants grouped with China and India, and the so-called BRIC economy. The sun is setting in the west, and it is rising in the east. But it seems to me that we're just going to sit around and let it happen. We are. I can see it. All the signs are there. It's like reading a history book. I don't see any changes. Show me one. There is none. So until there's innovators, business leaders, and people getting back to the fundamental core of what America is, this is the way it's going to be. So either adjust accordingly or follow us into the revolution. We're not going to mince words now anymore. We're in a revolution here. If you don't like it, well, go somewhere else. We are. When you have a president of the United States, once again, in all arrogance, I was going to upload the clips, but why? You've heard them all day, and I'm not going to do it to you. But as you know, he went out to California, said his spiel, and then he blamed the immigration on the Republican Party, the illegal immigration problem, saying, I want to do something, but they won't work with me. It's all their fault. This has to stop, and it needs to stop with us. Now. Yesterday we hear, oh, he's going to send troops to the border. Mel was on the phone with me when that came across the wire. What's the first thing I said?
To shoot at us.
Baloney. He's going to send the troops, but what are going to be the ROE, the rules of engagement? Well, we find out today the State Department had to hold the hand of Calderon because the President of Mexico right away made a little speech out to the Secretary of State. Oh, you can't do this. You can't put troops on the border. One, yes, we can, but it doesn't matter. The State Department told Calderon, don't worry. The troops are not sent there to deal with the immigration problem. They're being sent there to deal with the drugs. Follow the day's activities to understand why things happen. Yesterday, he had the meeting with the Republicans. Apparently, it was quite loud and, you know, didn't go so well for either side. Then you have McCain going on the Senate within about a half an hour to an hour later, stating what he says, railing and doing his new J.D. Hayworth impersonation. Then within 15 minutes or maybe at the same time, you get the from the White House. The troops are going to be sent. Barack Obama is so nihilistic and so arrogant that he believes that if he just puts out there that he will solve the problem and stab the American people. No, it won't. The troops will not be armed with anything. They will be told they cannot shoot. We already know they can't shoot in Afghanistan. What makes you think they're going to shoot on the border? Now, there was a story, Mel, I don't know if you saw this today from the Canadian Free Press. This is a story that's making the rounds out there. I like the Canadian Free Press. I think it's a wonderful place for initial stories, and I'd like to go deeper within it. But this was published this afternoon, where Obama served 14 state governors with warnings of arrest. Barack Hussein Obama has served 14 state governors in the United States national security letters, known as NSLs, warning that the governor's actions in attempting to form, quote, state defense forces needs to be halted immediately or they will face the crime of treason. The employment of NSLs was authorized by the Patriot Act introduced by George W. Bush. Contained within the section of these letters, it is forbidden for anyone receiving NSL to even acknowledge the existence of said communication. Now, I remember bringing to you the fact that Barack Obama immediately wanted to nationalize the National Guard. You remember that? This was a long time ago, one of the first things he ever did. Now, of course, Obama is angry. Now, this article is very biased, and the report reads like a blog one of us would write, so I want you to be aware of that. It's written by a Dr. Lyle Rapicki. Obama is angered by the several state governors who have reestablished state defense forces. These forces are described as state defense forces, also known as state guards, state military reserves, state militias. In the United States, our military units that operate under the sole authority of a state government. They are not regulated by the National Guard Bureau, nor are they a part of the Army National Guard of the United States. State defense forces are authorized by state and federal law and are under the command of the governor of each state. State defense forces are distinct from their state's National Guard in that they cannot become federal entities. Now, it seems the two governors leading in this move are Tim Pawlenty, governor of Minnesota, and Rick Perry, governor of Texas. Both of these state governors stated they have, quote, deep fear the president is destroying their nation, quote. Now, I don't know if that's true, either in this article, but I do give Canada Free Press weight. But I also, you know, I have to have a healthy dose of skepticism. If these were quotes directly attached to governors, said Pawlenty and Perry, I would think one way. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is true or not true. But even now they can't even talk about it, that it's against the law that they can even say they got one of these letters. So I don't know how we even find out.
I don't know how we could.
I don't know.
On the inside and make a copy of it. Posted on the web.
You know, you combine something like this on the heels of what's going on with SESTAC and what is clearly quid pro quo. Clearly quid pro quo. And everybody and all the bloggers, you, me, all our friends out there, in particular here at BTR and our blogs, we reported the fact that there were, quote, rumors that SESTAC got offered a job to drop out of the primary. And he denied it and denied it. He didn't deny it, actually. He did what do you call it? A non-denial denial? And
oh,
finally...
deniability.
Thanks, Neil. And finally he admits it. Okay, yes, they offered me a job. That's illegal. Now, I understand that we can't say that about the president, the grand imam. We're not allowed to, but here... Mel and I don't care because he's a Muslim and not a citizen of the United States. You know, he's just not a citizen and he's a Muslim. We just like to get that out every once in a while. Of course he did it. Now the White House says there's nothing wrong with it. Go back to what I said Sunday. We impeached Clinton on perjury. You mean to tell me, after all that this man has done and not done, we can't impeach this man? It's things like this that bring down White Houses, that bring down administrations, that cause presidents to resign. It's things like this. Or it gets them in so much trouble that they're forever lame duck, non-existent, just not even relevant. This comes at a time when our world's on fire. There was another bombing today by the Chechen rebels in Russia. More died in Baghdad in a market. Afghanistan is basically just waiting for the Taliban to retake it. And we have a president seen as the weakest man ever, ever to assume that position. And instead of lifting up the country and even faking being president, he decides that he is a continual, you thought Clinton was in a campaign mode all the time. Ah, this guy, wherever he goes, whether it be West Point, or he could be talking in front of a bunch of kids, he automatically clicks into campaign mode. You guys ever notice that? He just clicks right in.
Yeah.
And he did it, of course, with Barbara Boxer, but that was a campaign deal. And I don't, you know, personally, I'm not one of the ones that, oh, I'll be out there when the oil's spilling. You know, presidents can multitask. That doesn't bother me, and I'm not going to criticize that. But his vitriol, his bile for the Republican Party, not only was clear yesterday, but was more clear last night and continuing into today. He has yet to say, I am president of all people. I'm waiting for that and have been since January 20th. He has never yet said it of last year. He is not president of all the people. We know this. This man must be impeached. Impeachment being a political tool. It must be used. It must be. He is destroying us. I'm not even talking about health care. I'm talking about fundamental national security. We are going to be destroyed. We're going to eat ourselves from within, and the enemy's just going to finish off the job. Now you have the alert coming into the Texas-Mexican border. Well, don't worry about it, America. No problem. It's just that the State Department's a little concerned. It seems a terrorist is on the loose. Yeah, the feds issued a terror warning for the Texas-Mexico border. The Department of Homeland Security is alerting Texas authorities to be on the lookout for a suspected member of the Somalia-based Al-Shabaab. We've talked about Al-Shabaab here over and over, coming from Somalia. Who the hell do you think the pirates are? They're being controlled by Al-Shabaab. You're talking about hardcore Al-Qaeda. This is an Al-Qaeda Asian Peninsula nonsense that they started. Some of the hardest core Al-Qaeda, or the SS version of Al-Qaeda, is located in Africa. Always has been, always will be. Eastern Africa, Northern Africa. The birthplace of this. Or I like to say, Mel, the birthplace of the bow tie. This is where it comes from. So now we're on alert. Well, we're just looking for a terrorist. And, oh, by the way, you people in Texas down there, don't worry too much about it. But, you see, he's got some links with Al-Qaeda. And also, he's accused of a large-scale smuggling enterprise. It seems that they've been bringing hundreds of Somalis from Brazil through the Mexican border. But don't be alarmed. But what else are they bringing? Sleeper cell. I say it over and over again. The one thing you need to watch is sleeper cell. It's not just illegals crossing the border. It's the enemy. We're being invaded and we're killing ourselves with our own. If you even look at it from the socialist view, from the liberal view, you're killing yourselves with your own kindness. They want to now get rid of the word illegal. They don't like the word. You're going to see this over and over. I'm seeing it within the Times. I'm seeing it within the Washington Post. They're dropping the word illegal. They don't want to talk about that because according to them, people are not illegal. It's wrong and hurtful to call them that. This is more than political correctness. This is suicide. And Obama can do all that he wants about sending 1,200 people to the border. It's not going to do a damn bit of good. When McCain himself, now the new J.D. Hayworth McCain, says that he needs 3,000 just for Arizona alone. Well, McCain, you should have thought about that 2 years ago. 2 years ago when you, I don't want to go back there. This man blew it. If I have to blame anybody, I blame him. Now all of a sudden he questions Obama. Now all of a sudden this
yeah.
and that. I've had it.
A lot of people say he blew it on purpose because they wanted to destroy the Democrats.
Well, I've always said, you know, this is my concern, Mel, about November. And I'll be quite blunt. I'm not one of these remember November yeehaw crowd people. I'm just not. To the GOPs out there rah-rahing you up, using the rhetoric you want to hear to get you to the polls, to vote the GOP guy in, and then within 20 minutes, they're going to be right back to where they were before. That's why I say the fight's in the primary. But Mitch McConnell, telling Rand Paul to shush it, to be quiet, that he's said enough. See, Mitch McConnell, you're the problem.
Yep, exactly.
We've been trying to tell you that if we had a chance, your ass would be out.
Yeah.
And John McCain, and Collins, and yes, Cornyn, and yes, Bachman. I'm telling you, the whole crew out. Because all that rhetoric that we love to lift certain people up, you start seeing that mellow out now. And the GOP talking line is starting to take hold of all those people that we once thought were on our side. But not Rand Paul. He's refusing. So Mitch McConnell, you can wave all your wands, but you know all he wants to be is majority leader. That's all he's looking for. He don't care about you. And he certainly doesn't like the Rand Paul wing party. The true libertarian / conservative. No. Because that scares both sides. It takes the power away from them and gives it back to you. They can't have that, no matter what party. So while I am looking forward to seeing what happens in November, if we indeed make it there, I'm also a little nervous now. Because what if they do regain it? What if they do?
Yeah, just like I keep saying, it's just going to be more of the same.
Well, that's what I fear. And this time, we can't blame Bush. And this time, we can't blame Nancy Pelosi. These are different political times. Like we said, the economic rules are thrown under the... So too are the political rules. You see, Mitch McConnell doesn't want that race in Kentucky to be nationalized. He even said in the interview where he tells Rand Paul to hush it up, he says, well, I would like Rand Paul to concentrate on the fact that he will be senator of the people of Kentucky. I'm sorry, sir, but when one senator or one congressman is the vote that can either make me or break me, as we've seen in health care and beyond, all races are nationalized, every one of them. What happens in Michigan affects me, just like it does in California, even though I live in New York, because now I have to nationalize them. How is what Rand Paul does local? It's not. It's national. What every senator says is national. Well, granted, they're 100 individual presidents. We know this. That's what their big goal is, always has been. But I'm sorry, GOP. You're like goopy, like the stuff floating around in the Gulf. Every time I see it, I think of them. Goop. They're just
yeah.
goop.
that's the party right there. Big mess.
And you get your feet in it, and you're stuck. You know, like a cartoon, pulling your feet. So I've gotten myself free of them, and I'm staying free of them. Does that mean I can vote for it? Absolutely not. But I'm voting for the person. I sure as hell am not voting for the party. I'd give anything for a Zell Miller. Anything. Oh, God. Anything. Because my focus is national security, which should be the focus of this president always, and of course, because as you said, we kind of contemplated, Neil, you and I, about how, oh, I have to be careful, I know, but I'm going to have to just say it out loud. The military's gone to crap. The United States military has been so diluted that it's just dissolving. And we've brought you story after story of commander after commander, head by McChrystal White himself. From ROE's rules of engagement down to what they can and cannot say, what they can and cannot do. Giving away missions in Afghanistan and Iraq, by McChrystal's own words, and his definition is this, because he wants the people to choose. Do you want the Taliban or us? So he thinks by telling them, they'll make a choice. Uh-huh. Well, it was reported this week that the Taliban is increasing assassinations and beheadings. Any money given to anyone in Afghanistan they find out about, they will kill you. So the Americans are going around paying off people thinking the net's going to help. Uh-huh. But see, behind them is Mr. Evil Taliban. He's beheading them. He's assassinating them. He's stealing their money and killing their children. And they were always emboldened. Now they're emboldened more, and they laugh at McChrystal. And now they're laughing at NATO. They're toothless. But we have NATO Secretary General. He comes out today and says this. It's beautiful. He's warning all member nations not to cut their military. Uh-huh. That was actually for you. That was for the United States. That wasn't for anybody else. That was for the United States. We know you're all in crisis, but do us a favor and don't cut the military. Oh, and one more thing. While you're not cutting the military, it's time for you to retool your military for a more global mission. I'm wondering, Mel, if a year, 18 months from now, if we honestly do not see that global force that we see advertising. We're the global force. It's going to just be dissolved. It's just going to be dissolved. And that is my biggest fear of all. I'm so sorry that that is happening to your United States military, especially right before Memorial Day. But we're clearly at a point. Regardless of what Barack Obama said in front of West Point or did not say, we are clearly at a point that this man means it. He's not playing. And those cadets, those graduates, have been trained this way. Okay? They're not being trained the way our fathers and grandfathers and uncles and great-grandfathers were trained, indeed at West Point or in the military itself. Survival, or as Rush likes to say, to kill things and, or kill people and break things. I know that sounds harsh, but that's what they do. They fight to win wars, but not anymore. And if we can't do that in Afghanistan, and those people are seeing our grand United States military who came in there with a clear mission to destroy, to eradicate them. And don't tell me it can't be done. It can be done. When I see women in Saudi Arabia showing a hell of a lot more courage than our generals planning this war, you know there's something wrong. I'm not talking about those fighting the war. I'm talking of planning the war. And indeed the civilians calling the shots. And until we face that fact in this country, we are done. When states are against states, boycotts, people against the government, we've got crisis never before seen. I even think greater than the Civil War. Because it's not states against states. It's people from all the different states against the federal government. That is the most dangerous of all scenarios. Economic, social, political. All three things. We can't agree on immigration reform. We just simply are never going to. We do not want amnesty under any way, shape, or form. The other side, we have to have some sort of amnesty. That's it. It's over. You are never going to get the two sides to agree, and frankly, I am not going to ever allow anyone I support politically to agree to that. Bad enough Reagan did it. I'm still getting over that. You know, I'm hearing, well, it's the same thing that happened with out in California with Prop 187. I'm going, oh, yeah, here we go again. That's why California is blue. Exactly. That's the only reason they want this comprehensive immigration reform. It's politics. That's why Bush wanted to do it under Bush. That's why Obama wants to do it under Obama. Because they figure they will gain the loyalty forever. And some will. How do you think the Democrats have loyalty to the party? Because Papa remembers Truman and Grandpapa remembered FDR. And that loyalty stayed through generations. And then you get the loyalty through the union. Well, I've got to stay with the Democrats. They're for the union. You know how many times I've heard that? Yeah, they're for the union? Is that why you have no pensions? No. Is that why there's no car industry? Is that why all your jobs are over there in China, India, Asia? They're for no one but themselves. This country better darn well wake up and mighty quick. Now, I don't want this elitist talk about how the United States will never do what Greece did. We will. And I saw that video today of those SEIU workers going along of the attorney for Bank of America. I was sickened to my stomach.
The cops escorted them there.
Those cops, one, should be fired. Yes, I said it. Cops are not all that, you know, we don't bow down to cops here either. These are changing here. I'm sorry if you might not like this. I don't respect somebody just because they're an authority. In fact, they have to earn it. I was raised to, but experience has shown me that that is a very, very big mistake. That they're all liars. They all are. And it's actually healthy. Don't ever, ever believe government. Always question them. Always question authority. We are at that point. And I see those people on the guy's front stairs with his kid cowering in the closet because he was scared. Well, hell yeah. Why are those cops on leave? Why are they not fired? How do you escort an angry mob onto somebody's front lawn? I could see if I had a permit to go to the street. That's public. I guess so. But they weren't just on his lawn, Neil. I guess they traced through Nina Easton's lawn, the lady that's from Fortune magazine that's on Fox News. They traced through her front lawn, too. Now they're threatening her. So please don't tell me that this can't happen. Because you get me mad enough, which I'm already beyond mad. I've lost all, really. I don't think the election's going to matter one way or another. Will we cover it? Yes. Will I be glad if the good people get in there? Yes. I mean, I think we all could basically figure out that the GOP will take one or both back. I think that's probably certain. I'm going to see some upset. I think that's very certain, too. And that will be good for me. To see Harry Reid, that would be a wonderful thing. But I am starting to see people like Boehner drool for that gavel instead of continuing to hear us. They've closed you off. They got all needed from you. You're done. They don't need you anymore. The next time they need you will be for Get Out the Vote, GOTV. No. I'm sorry. We're really desperate definitely need a revolution in this country, a total change. You want someone to protect the borders, you call upon the American people, and trust me, you'll have 500,000 people down at those borders in 48 hours. You would. Call a posse. All right, American people, guess what? We got an invasion. And I need you. Okay. Don't tell me we wouldn't be there. What, you think that's wrong? Too Western? To John Wayne? What? Somebody's threatening your country, threatening your way of life, and you're just going to stand there and complain about it and write an email? I think we're way beyond that. Here we have the GOP giving into financial reform, which is a mess. The whole bill, I started to read it now, oh God. It's a mess. It's not going to do a damn thing. Nor should it, in my opinion. Now we're going to get the BP thing. We're going to have I guarantee you they're going to take over this oil industry. You watch out for that. So then what are you going to have? Well, I don't know. How about the four oil people going, I'm out of here. Forget it. I'm not going over to America. But who will? China. They'll come swoop right in and take it. I guarantee they're going to take it off. Then what? You're not buying the coal mines up. American coal miners would forget it. I'm done with it. So here, China, India, we'll buy them. It's like a big game in Italy. Everybody's buying the utilities up. And you're sitting there going, wait a minute, I didn't even get to roll the dice. Uh-huh. We have to have a mind change. Oh, no more talking and parroting the big talkers. Please. Please don't do it anymore. Because you're doing yourself, you're feeding on dessert. You're not getting enough spinach. You're all getting insulin shock. I see it. Hannity said this, and O'Reilly said this, and Limbaugh said this. What do you say? You need to have your vegetables. You need to have some. You need to have fruit. You can't just keep getting all the sugar. You're getting weak and you're getting fat, allowing them to take over. Because as you notice, have you noticed the tea parties? They're a little bit diluted now. We haven't heard much, have you? Haven't heard enough.
Not
quiet.
Really.
Yeah, a little quiet out there. Just at the time it should be the loudest.
Exactly. Now until November.
Well, absolutely. One quick thing now, what's going on in Israel today, as we reported Sunday, they're having their five-day emergency drill. It was quite a chilling quote from a man by the name of Uzi Landrieu. And Uzi is a national infrastructure minister. They had their emergency drill from the Knesset today. And he said this, here in the Middle East, there is no mercy for the weak. So here you have the entire Knesset, it would be like our Congress, doing their drill, evacuating, and going to safety. And everyone doing that with stone faces, knowing that this isn't fake, that one day more than likely this will come true, probably within the future. You have a man saying, in the Middle East, there is no mercy for the weak. See, we used to, actually, you know what? The United States has never thought that way. I don't think we have. I think that's our problem. We're too kind. We're too merciful. We have never faced an enemy like Israel has faced, ever. No, we had the Nazis. They had the Nazis. We've had Islamofascism. They have it every day of their lives, for their existence. So they've grown a thicker skin. And they've also gotten quite biblical. there is no mercy for the weak, meaning the enemy will kill you if you're weak. Even the perception of being weak, they laugh and feast on it, just like they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan and indeed all over Southeast Asia. And as you can see, through our border, Al-Shabaab, running them through Brazil, through Central America, into our country. We don't even know how many terrorists are now here. This apparently has been going on for quite a while. The American people have become chum, blood in the water. And Obama's like one with the bucket, throwing us in. This is who they are, and they will kill you. And unless you start to understand that there will be no mercy, they will not hold your hand, they will not give you a donut and a cup of coffee and let you ride home. Look at those poor kids in Iran. Now think of that if that was you or your children. But you see, if it affects you now, if Al-Qaeda caught an American, and they'll put your head on a stake, and they'll dance around it. Because that's the enemy. They're evil. Now the International Red Cross, get this one. The International Red Cross is teaching the Taliban how to care for wounds and injuries. I'm like, well, thank you very much.
Man, they are on the wrong side.
Well, they've always been a bunch of Islamo lovers anyway. I know this is harsh. A lot of people can't, they're like, oh, okay, well, we have to have compassion. No, I don't. No. Ask those that fought in World War II and in World War I if they stop before they bayoneted somebody. I've asked this question many times. I'm going to ask it one more time. You've got a 10-year-old running at you screaming, you know he's got his hand on the button. What will you do? And don't think it can happen because it has happened. Or you see the woman in a burqa. Or maybe not in a burqa. And she says, Allah Akbar, what are you going to do? You going to talk to her? Well, by the time you say, oh, you're dead. Now the Taliban is actually confiscating the children again in Afghanistan and using them within their army and now training them to be the soldiers they need in increasing numbers. Don't tell us we can't destroy Islam. It must be destroyed. And until you do, the enemy will keep resurfacing as it has done through its creation. From the Egyptian Coptic Christians to today, their one goal is to destroy you, kill you, and take over everything that they want is what they're going to do. And if they have to use Mexico to do it, they will. See, they're around us like they're around Israel. They're all in Canada. We know they're in Mexico, so they surround us. We parallel Israel in so many ways. I don't think it's coincidence. Do you, Mel?
Absolutely not.
So, do you have anything that you said you were going to...
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so
I just
we talked
wanted
about...
to know that my governor...
Oh.
To promote Michigan, she created a political action group, I guess you call it. A fund, I mean. So, and she hired Van Jones to do the promotion for
her. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, he did something.
Oh, one my.
Another.
Well, here in New York, Andrew Cuomo, here we, like, big non-secret secret. He's announced he's running for governor. Woo-hoo, whoop-dee-doo. He doesn't even have to run. Andrew Cuomo can just say, I'm running for governor. Trust me, he'll be elected. It doesn't matter. Yeah. A lot of people have gotten shot. Doug got this guy Palladino. I like him, but he's got a little bit of scandal going on. He had some nasty emails come through, so of course everyone's got to make a big deal out of that. Good guy, libertarian, conservative type guy, doesn't have a chance in hell. This is Cuomo's state. This is the state of Cuomo. That's why everybody in New York, get out now. Get out. If you can do. It's just bad. Also, New York is considering a new millionaire tax. This is something that my local media had on, and it's not good.
Oh,
no.
Oh, Iggy asked, did you see who he picked for running mate?
I thought it was the mayor of Rochester, Iggy. Is that right? I know the mayor of Buffalo was considered.
Yeah. Mayor Duffy.
Yeah, there you go. Dumb and dumber. They'll win. Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm voting for Palladino, but that's the way it goes there. What's going on with your governor race now?
I think Herkstra is still in the lead. Cox is second and Rick Snyder is third. I'm hoping Snyder can pull it off.
How far back is he?
I don't know the numbers.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to put you on the side. I didn't know who was running there.
Yeah,
well, also,
he's the sheriff of Oakland County, but he ain't going anywhere. He's not even advertising yet. Mike Ehrlich's wife is running as a Democrat. He's the pizza king, Little Caesars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his wife is running as a Democrat, and he owns the Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers. Yeah, and the Wings want to move out of Joe Louis. They want to move to the Palace where the Pistons play. And the city of Detroit wanted the Pistons to move back to Detroit. Yeah, I won't see that happen. Nobody wants to go down there anymore.
No, God, no. No way. Tomorrow in the Senate, I don't want to get into a debate now about gay rights, but tomorrow in the Senate, the Armed Forces Committee will vote on the, quote, don't ask, don't tell repeal. There's been a deal reached. If you agree or you disagree, contact the Armed Services Committee. Talk to them. Tell them. 202-224-3121. Talk to them and let them know. But close to 70% of the American people now do favor gays openly serving. This is something that, of course, is societal, generational, and it's apparently so, too, in the military. The numbers are about the same. So I guess we're going to have to leave it to the Pentagon to work out. We're not going to stay off topic just because it might be a controversial topic. Keep an eye on that. It'll be coming this week. It's really all. You got the economy tomorrow. You've got that. Keep an eye on BP. You know, the flood, the oil disaster, which really it is, and it really needs to be cleaned up. And, of course, our traitor-in-chief, the Grand Imam, not going to Arlington on Memorial Day. But what he'll be home in for. He'll be home in time for.
Paul McCartney concert.
There you go. Got it.
There you go. And if you're around on Friday night at 9:30 p.m. listening to another couple of episodes of Life of Abraham Lincoln from the book written by Henry Ketchum. And also, don't forget to grab a muzzy and spay or neuter him. Have a great weekend, everybody. Yeah, I thought you might like that one.